All right, so Jennifer Aniston makes statements against cancel culture. Can we trust her on that? Plus, masks might be coming back because COVID might be circulating again. And we've got some random interesting TikToks we're going to comment on. Let's get into it. What's up, guys, and happy Wednesday. Hope you're having a fantastic day. I spent 3 hours this morning hosting the Dennis Prager radio show, so I've been running my mouth all day long, y'all. And if y'all listen to that radio show, what are you doing here? Do you really want to listen to me for a fourth hour? I give you permission to log off because I've just been yapping. The girl does not stop yapping all day long. We have Taylor in Nashville.
You want to do this to yourself another hour? That's pretty intense.
You know what? I'm testing the bounds of my limitless ability to speak. And we've got Cam in the producer's bay.
Hey, guys.
Now, today we have many a story to discuss, but first and foremost, we're going to talk about my girl, Jennifer Aniston. You'll know her as the actress most famous for playing Rachel Green in Friends. Did I know her name was Rachel Green in that show? No. I asked Taylor 5 minutes before we went live.
And I don't know how I knew, but I did.
Yeah, I'm not a massive Friends watcher. I'm going to admit it. Hate me if you will. Friends is kind of a show that if I'm like staying in a hotel, I'll turn it on and it's just like passive, you know, listening in the background while I'm doing work or something like that. As a kid, it would come on every now and then, but I was much more of like a Full House, George Lopez type of girl, okay? That was where I was sitting. That's who I was rocking with. Wasn't really into Friends, so I don't get the full dynamic of that show. And 2BH, it's not that funny. But I've seen Jennifer Aniston and Just Go With It. She's also in one of my faves, He's Just Not That Into You, for all my rom-com girlies over there. And she's most recently been in Murder Mystery 2 alongside Adam Sandler. So we're seeing her around. And most recently, she's been talking about cancel culture. More so in a passive comment, but here's what she says, quote, "I'm so over cancel culture." She said, "I probably just got canceled by saying that. I just don't understand what it means. Is there no redemption? I don't know." So, seems like Jennifer Aniston is asking herself a good set of questions there. And it's an interesting topic to discuss when it comes to cancel culture, that question of, is there no redemption? Me personally, no, not with how cancel culture works currently. For the structure of cancel culture as it stands today, we'll give you a random example. Let's say that I tweeted out some BS when I was 15 that was super offensive and it resurfaces and suddenly everybody's talking about Amala Epinobi said X when she was 15 years old. The good kind of, I mean, I don't even want to say the good kind of cancel culture, because the very name cancel culture points out something inherently wrong with it for me. But the good kind of accountability on that would be to say, hey, Amala, do you still feel the way you felt when you wrote this tweet at 15 years old? And if the answer is no, then maybe some progress has, come across. And I've lifted myself out of the depths of wherever I was at 15. And yes, I can take accountability for the fact that that was a statement I made at the time, but I no longer feel that way. Instead, what cancel culture does is it just relegates us to who we were at that period of time. You must apologize for what you said at 15, for there is no possible way that 8 years later you have changed as a person and no longer feel that way. And if that is how cancel culture is structured and is working, then there truly is no room for redemption or progress, because we all might as well just be who we were at 15 years old. And that's my problem with it. I'm all for, you know, systems of accountability, asking people if they still stand by some like random statements they said way back when, but it's too harsh as it is right now. We love a good redemption arc, right? And people in Hollywood should know that. Jennifer Aniston, of all people, being an actress for the amount of time that she has been, should know that redemption arcs are valuable. But they've lost the plot. But maybe she's coming back around.
Maybe, yeah. She said something along the lines of, she doesn't put everybody in the same category as a Harvey Weinstein, which I think that's an interesting maybe distinction to draw with what you're talking about, is having a path to redemption. Like, in his case, as far as we know, there's a pretty big reputation of bad behavior there that precedes him. And right. as far as we know, he hasn't made a ton of effort at restitution and isn't somebody that you would think it's not a case where somebody made an offhanded comment decades ago and now they're being canceled for that. That's a little bit more of a bigger rap sheet and a reputation that you haven't really, done enough to shake off. So
yeah.
I get where she's saying, like, maybe we don't need to immediately put everyone in that camp. And, we should give people a path to redemption if they are just somebody who's maybe said something off color mm-hmm. once upon a time that was appropriate at the time, but it's not now. That's more the cancel culture that I think she's referring to.
Yeah, so. Bill Cosby doesn't get to come back and say, I only used the Quaaludes when I was in my 30s, right? I don't do that anymore, right? There's not a redemption arc in that sense. And I think that is a good distinction to draw. If you've done something quite literally criminal, you're physically harming other people and committing a crime that we would put anybody, any normal person in jail for, like the Harvey Weinsteins and the Bill Cosbys of the world, we're having a totally different discussion there. And I don't even know that counts as cancel culture. I don't know. That, to me, that's just justice, right, at the end of the day. And you go through your due process, you're innocent until proven guilty. We handle you that way. But I love that she's thinking in this direction and that she's willing to say it out loud. Jennifer Aniston has not had the best track record politically when it comes to talking about social and cultural issues. And since we're about to get into a discussion around COVID, let's bring up Jennifer Aniston's past when it comes to the old jab, that we've had many a run-in with. Here's an article from the Daily Wire in 2021. It says, Jennifer Aniston rips anti-vaxxers, says they have a moral duty to identify themselves. Actress Jennifer Aniston recently said that people who are not yet vaccinated against COVID-19, quote, just don't listen to facts, end quote, and mostly base their opinions on, quote, fear or propaganda, end quote, and revealed that she's cut ties with the unvaccinated. Taking it a step further, Aniston said that it's, quote, normal and professional obligation, end quote, for the unvaccinated to identify themselves in public settings. Quote, there's still a large group of people who are anti-vaxxers and just don't listen to facts. It's a real shame. I've just lost a few people in my weekly routine who have refused or did not disclose whether or not they've been vaccinated, and it was unfortunate. I feel as though it's your moral and professional obligation to inform, since we're not all putted up and being tested every single day. It's tricky because everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but a lot of opinions don't feel based in anything except for fear or propaganda. I wonder if now, 2 years later in 2023, she feels the same way about that as things are, starting to pick up and we're learning new things and questioning new things and finding out that maybe those old, stick and pokes that everybody got were not the most efficient ones and that you would have been better off jabbing actual ink into your skin. And maybe that is why these comments about cancel culture are, and these thoughts about cancel culture are sort of percolating in her mind. And she might be thinking back to herself. Maybe there's some accountability being taken, although I'm not going to give her too much credit where I haven't seen the actual words being said. Yeah.
Right. We saw Piers Morgan, for example, came out and said, during COVID at the beginning, I believed the experts. And so I believed that we needed to ID the unvaccinated. We needed to crack down on them. We needed to, cut off people who didn't comply with all the mandates and stuff like that. And he's like, now that I know that I was kind of lied to, I want to take accountability for that. And I regret having trusted the experts and run with that narrative. And I've seen a lot of people since come out and sort of take that position. And as far as I know, we haven't seen Jennifer Aniston walk any of this back or any of the attitude back that she had toward her friends and family that she was willing to cut off during that time, despite new information that's emerged about the efficacy of all these things, which I'm sure we'll get into. So her words lose a little bit of weight when you're how anti-cancel culture can you be if, not 2-3 years ago, you were in the camp of canceling all your friends and family that wasn't getting jabbed or whatever it may have been.
Yeah, hopefully she's grown in that sense. She's been one to make a comment every now and then where I'm like, you know what, I can totally get behind that. I think recently she's spoken about her time at Friends and the show Friends itself and said, a lot of the jokes that were made in the sitcom would not be able to be made now, and that that was a shame that you couldn't sort of recreate the comedic factor of that show now. You've heard us say similar things about The Office. The comedy that stood the test of time is South Park, and they still continued. They sort of etched out a space within culture and comedy where they can virtually say whatever it is that they want, and it's sad that we only give that space to a show like South Park when everybody should feel free reign over the jokes that they make. So Jennifer Aniston hits, she misses, she hits, she misses, and that's what everybody does. So so that's okay. I am just curious with her comments about cancel culture, what is she thinking on the other topics that she's spoken so audaciously about? That's a really audacious thing to say. I've cut off friends of my own because they've decided not to get a medical treatment that I thought that they should get. Crazy to think about. I can understand in a period of just not knowing and just general skepticism about just how dangerous this thing is, not wanting to be around people that maybe weren't making the same decisions as you, and that's totally fine. Everybody can make their own choice on that. But the idea that it's some sort of professional obligation to alert people to your status in regard to a quickly pushed out medical treatment, that's where you lose me. Definitely.
And also with this whole story, like in 2023, is it really that courageous to take a stand against cancel culture, especially when you're not referring to any specific situation or really just, you know, substantiating what you mean by that in any serious way? It's kind of just like, I'm against cancel culture. That's almost like become a popular thing to say now. Yeah. And we've seen it from others like Brian Cox, I think we reacted to recently, had similar stuff to say. And it's great to hear. I'm glad that we're at a time now where cancel culture is no longer like something that is tacitly supported by the elites or, you know, pop people in pop culture, but it seems almost like it's now cool to be like, yeah, I don't think people should be canceled. But mm-hmm. It's again, it kind of falls a little flat when a lot of these people just a couple of years ago were totally beating the drum of, you know, cancel people who don't follow the main narrative. It just loses a little luster. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. Hollywood does kind of wait until there is like the generally accepted narrative before they, you know, head to interviews and start saying it out loud. During the heat of cancel culture, when it was just like peak, I mean, when people were getting canceled for like old things they said on a podcast, that guy from Jeopardy was like uprooted from his job, and he was really great. I'm a Jeopardy fan. We used to watch Jeopardy every single day when I was with my like grandmother back home in Florida, and she still does. When Mike Richards, I think is his name, when he got taken off the show because of something he said in a podcast like 13 years prior or something like that, when we were in the heat of that, it was crickets. Everybody was super silent, and I think it's mainly because Hollywood just in general and every single actor, director, executive acknowledged like, there's definitely some shit I did 10 years ago that I don't want to come out, so I'm just going to shut my mouth.
And let scrubbing their old tweets.
Yeah, literally. They're like hiring people to go through all of their social media accounts and just like take everything out. And I think they were so consumed with a fear like, this is going to happen to me if I say something about it, that I'm just going to like shut my mouth, let it happen to other people, ride the wave, try to be as nice as I can publicly while everybody else gets canceled, and I'll wait till it's acceptable to come forward and say that this is not okay. So maybe that is what happened. Taylor, you've convinced me.
Well, good. Yeah, as you're talking, I'm like, yeah, there was like Chris Harrison. I mean, Gina Carano is obviously a huge one.
Yeah.
There was the coach, oh my gosh, John Gruden, who did Monday Night Football, who got canceled over some old emails. And we covered pretty much all of these on the show over the last year or two, talking about just these victims, the bodies stacking up from cancel culture. So I don't know. Maybe it's just maybe that wave is crested and we're in a new era where we can all pretend like we weren't canceling people left and right.
Yeah, dude, what a fever dream that was looking back on it. I feel like every single show there was a new celebrity who was just like taking the heat, and you would take, which is so crazy because we should have recognized that it was just like a 2-week cycle of outrage and then you're out of it and then it's the next person. And then a 2-week cycle of outrage and then you're over it and it's the next person. If I was ever in like the crosshairs of being canceled, I would just shut up. I would just shut my mouth, go about my business, do what I've always been doing. They don't deserve the acknowledgement. And then guess what? They would move on. Like as soon as they don't receive a response from you, they just jump to the next person like a piranha and they find them.
Or stand your ground like we saw Neo did just like, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? You know, he made some comments on a podcast that went viral, and the woke mob came after him. And then his publicist put out a tweet that was very like apologetic and taking ownership and saying, I'll learn from this. And then he came out and was like, you know, everyone was calling him a coward for folding to the mob. And then he came out on Instagram and was like, you know what? No, I believe what I believe, and basically retracted that. So holding your ground or just letting the wave pass seems to be the way through cancel culture these days.
Yeah, I'm trying to think in like the heat of it when it was really happening, like every single day, something new. Who did anybody truly like stand up for themselves and say like, F you guys, I'm just going to keep... Nothing comes to mind. I'm sure you guys can let me know in the comments down below if you can think of somebody who was just like, yeah, no, I'm going to keep doing my business. The issue was that like the corporations and companies jumped on it so quick. They got one person complaining and they're like, your sponsorship's gone. You're no longer doing the show anymore. You're fired. Yeah. They were just so reactive to everything that was going on. Now, speaking of being reactive, guys, here's a CNN article. I want you to hold on to your freaking horses when I read this headline. It may be time to break out the masks against COVID, some experts say. You know, every single year since this virus has been around, hanging out with us, you know, doing its thing, running its course, we go through, you know, peaks of activity where people start to get COVID and then it goes back down and then it peaks again. And of course, we're headed into the fall / winter, and it is being predicted that COVID is going to spike. So now people are calling for masks to come right back out. Here's a photo of one Jamie Lee Curtis. You know her. You maybe like her. You maybe don't. She posted on Instagram with her mask out and says, and we're back. No, not Michael Myers, but masking will be. COVID is on the rise. So many friends are now really sick. Being mindful, wear a mask if required, or even if you feel unwell, and are out in public spaces. This is spread like wildfire, not the virus, but the just rumblings of masks coming back out, and people are pissed. I've seen the commentators on Fox News saying we're not doing this. Ian Crossland on Tim Pool screaming, I'm not putting on a dirty mask. And I think you're gonna see a lack of compliance here if this becomes something that's pushed. Of course, I'm in the California and Los Angeles in particular. I think if anywhere is going to start, you know, reinserting mandates into certain stores and things, we'll be the first to do it. I'm gonna give a hard pass to that. I'm so sorry. I'm 23. I'm a young buck. I've had COVID before. I got it 2 years after this was even a thing. I like was bobbing and weaving that and never got it. And then I just got it at the tail end when everything was like the restrictions were lifted. Nobody was really like worried about it all that much anymore. And guess what? Everything was cool. I was fine. I didn't infect any old people to my knowledge because I wasn't around any old people. And here we are, you know, a long time after that. And I'm talking to you. And I'm breathing and things are cool. So I'm not going to be participating. It's just a thing.
I love how the article said like 80% of people have not, or I think it's 80% of people have not taken a test in the last few weeks to like test if they're ever going. I'm like, who are the 20% that are testing themselves still in 2023 every week to see if they have COVID? Like, it feels like such a blast from the past. I think a lot of us have just collectively like blocked out that whole era. Cause if you really start thinking about it and all the BS that we had to go through, just starts getting, I start getting really angry, and I could just go down so many rabbit holes of all the different ways that it was just tyrannical and irrational and all of that. And I think we were just so relieved to step out of that era that people are just like, you know what? We're over it. Like, let's just move on and we can, you know, but now that they're trying to bring this back, I think you're going to see a lot more resistance because they're like, oh no, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, sort of thing.
Right.
And I don't think people are really poised to be fooled again by this.
Yeah. And you know, if stores start doing this, I'm just going to stay away from the stores that do. I'm not going to go like try to create a scene with people who are like asking me to put on a mask or anything, but I'm just going to like patronize businesses that are not doing that. It's just going to be you know, the same as it was when we went through this the first time. I'm just not about it. I'm so sorry. it's just not gonna work for me. And I think you're gonna find that many more Americans than the first time around are going to feel the exact same way. This time, it is not gonna work for me. And of course, if like you're gonna be around like older people, immunocompromised people, and this is a request that they have of you, this is something to, you know, take into account and to think about and make a decision. And if that's what they want you to do, then they can decide if you're around them or if you're not around them. I'm just saying in a general sense, like if this gets reintegrated into society where it's becoming a regular, degular thing, I'm going to be irregular. I'm not participating. I'm not doing it. I just can't. I just have no will towards that action.
I'm noticing too, like between the first story and the reintroduction of COVID hysteria, there is sort of a common theme there of in the first one, you had cancel culture and the threat of, you know, if you don't comply with the mainstream narrative of how to think and how to speak about social issues or whatever it may be, then you are canceled. And similarly, and during that same last couple of years, we've had the, if you don't comply with what the, you know, health institutions say, with what the mainstream media says, then you are canceled. And hopefully enough people have learned their lesson that not to submit mindlessly to narratives, whether it be on COVID, whether it be on race, whether it be on, you know, whatever it may be out there, that, but not to like mindlessly comply with whatever you're supposed to say, whatever you're supposed to think. Hopefully enough people are thinking freely and demanding facts and demanding actual logic behind the narratives that you're supposed to comply with, and challenging those narratives so that we're living more in a society of free thinkers and people who are acting autonomously, living out their lives, not just as sheep, but, you know, truly being free and thinking for themselves. Hopefully we're shifting back more toward a default position of liberty-loving, free-thinking people and away from, you know, this tyrannical, you must comply with this approved narrative. I think that we hopefully, it didn't feel like we were passing the test at the time, but we have an opportunity to pass it now, I think is what it feels like.
Yeah. And if, you know, you use your free thinking, you know, sensibilities and it leads you down the path of you want to mask up and, you know, do that for the winner or whatever, by all means, go for it. And, you know, I hope you don't get sick. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And that is totally your choice to make. And, you know, if you deem it to be sensible, then it is sensible for you. And that is totally fair. Just allow people to go through that process themselves. And we need to remind ourselves that, like, these peaks that are going to continue to happen are going to happen every year, right? This virus doesn't just, like, magically disappear and go away. Much like we have our little flu season that everybody goes through and everybody takes their own precautions for and does what they deem to be reasonable for that, you're probably going to have a COVID season where the very same thing happens. And maybe they'll cross paths over one another and that will be what we just deal with for, you know, the foreseeable future. Just allow people to make their own choices. Now, I got to get into this video, right? We reacted to Oliver Anthony, who became quickly very famous for singing a song called The Rich Men North of Richmond, where he sort of appealed to this idea that, you know, corporations and elites are the ones dictating the terms that we live on right now, and that a lot of people are feeling helpless as these powers that be make decisions that affect our world, and that we don't have much agency over what happens to us. And it was like a country folky song that a lot of the right got behind and said, you know, I want to share this, I want more people to hear this, and he skyrocketed to stardom over that song. Now he's released new music, we're not going to react to that today, but he's also had an interview that's gone viral off of Fox News where he says this.
I mean, we are the melting pot of the world, and that's what makes us strong is our diversity, and we need to learn to harness that and appreciate it and not use it as a political tool to keep everyone separate from each other, you know?
Okay, so that 11-second clip with absolutely no context goes viral, and so many, I won't say all, but so many on the right start going after this guy. I can't believe I shared your song, and you said that diversity is a strength, and how dare you say something like this? He was a leftist all along. Listen to what he just said. This is horrible. This is such a letdown. This tweet in particular says, such a letdown. Did he sell out already to the rich men north of Richmond? Now let's one more time hear what he had to say.
I mean, we are the melting pot of the world, and that's what makes us strong is our diversity, and we need to learn to harness that and appreciate it and not use it as a political tool to keep everyone separate from each other, you know?
Okay. So let's break that down, right? He said America is a melting pot. This has been a long time used term to refer to America by both conservatives and liberals and leftists. You know, this has been a widely accepted terminology for referring to the United States. On the conservative end of things, people saying, yeah, we have a lot of different people from different backgrounds who live in this country, love this country, and adhere to this country's ideals. That's the idea of a melting pot. Now, he says there's a lot of diversity, and that is a strength that we have as this nation. And people heard the word diversity, and it was like bells went off, like a Pavlovian response. He must be a leftist! How dare he say diversity is something that is strong! You know? Okay? And I get with maybe the wording of how he said that, how it could be misconstrued, and you might think what he's saying is actually woke. But all he's saying is that we have people of different backgrounds who come together under the umbrella that is the United States of America. And instead of dividing those people up, as the powers that be are actively trying to do with critical race theory and critical feminism and all these different things that are creating racial divides, sex-based divides, you know, cultural divides, we should find strength in the fact that so many of us were able to come together and live in the United States of America. What I think could have been emphasized, or what he could have said better, is that diversity only works if there is some sort of shared sense of values that we have, a shared message, a shared ideal, and a shared set of rights that we all get to, you know, use, and privileges in this country that we all have. He missed the mark there. But to like misconstrue this as he's some sort of woke leftist because he said we're a melting pot, which has been, you know, a long-held idea since God knows when, it's a little ridiculous. It's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, as much as I appreciate the sort of vigilance against using some of the language that's been hijacked in recent years / decades over like diversity, and okay, maybe people have their antennas go up when they hear that word because we've seen so much anti-American ideology pushed under the guise of diversity over the last several years. So I can appreciate sort of a hypersensitivity when it comes to that word in particular, especially sort of framed around that common phrase we've all heard, diversity is our strength, when we've all seen a lot of not very strong ideas pushed under that banner. So I do appreciate that. But at the same time, it's we can't allow a hypersensitivity of that to allow us to descend into having bad faith interpretations of what someone's saying. And if you listen to that in context, I think, like you said, it's really important that he did refer to America as a melting pot. And sort of by definition, that means you have a lot of different ingredients, but it makes one dish. So that the idea of a melting pot is highlighting the unifying sort of nature of American ideals and values. And under that banner of our ideals and values, we can all from different backgrounds come together and share in that unity. And that's what gives us strength. It's not necessarily the diversity. If diversity was our strength, then it'd be all the ingredients outside of the pot, you know, on their own that was supposedly somehow making us strong, but which is what a lot of the regressive types are kind of trying to push us back toward, it was so it would seem. But right. Clearly, if you listen to the idea that he's alluding to, the melting pot, sort of the e pluribus unum, out of many one, that is an American ideal, and that is something to be celebrating. So, and it's, I guess it's just unfortunate that, you know, he may be referred to the use of the word diversity in a way that could have been interpreted the way that the leftists tend to use it these days.
Yeah, and this is the thing that sucks, right? Because diversity has always meant what it's meant up until the woke left hijacked the term, right? Diversity is not just like about like skin color and, you know, sex and sexual orientation and all this different stuff. It was not about that. I mean, we used to have a diversity that truly meant like diversity of opinion and background and culture and all these different things, but it got switched to mean like how many white people are there? How many black people are there? How do we meet our diversity quota? How do we, you know, instate affirmative action? They're the ones who hijacked a very neutral word that could have been used in a positive light for much of this country's history and has been used in a positive light for much of this country's history. So it sucks that, like, he's using the word as it's meant to be used, and then he gets like called out because the left has hijacked something, and the woke left, I should say specifically, has hijacked the word to make it like lose the richness and the depth that it once had. So those are my thoughts on that. I think you guys can, we can like chill out. I don't think he's a communist because he said that we can find strength in our diversity. And I'm sure he's going to put out much, much more music that supports the message that people like. And if you like his music, you like his music. It's just interesting that like so often we talk about how context and nuance is lost in these discussion. And immediately after this guy puts this song out, an 11-second clip could have possibly been the thing that like puts the nail in the coffin. Wild.
We're gonna have a post-woke era sort of McCarthyism where if you end up using any words like equity or diversity or something, even if you don't mean them in that way,
right,
it's like, oh, 2319, you'll lock them down, sanitize them.
2319. It's so true. That's exactly what happened to him in this one. But hopefully we've learned from this. It's okay. He was using the word, I think, in the right sense. Now we're going to react to some interesting videos that I saw. This one I just thought was really funny. This young lady was walking around and asking young men whether or not they would date somebody who is plus size. And she came across a guy who had a very interesting reaction to that question. Let's watch.
Would you date someone who's plus size?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I guess it kind of depends, like how much, because like if it's like too much, then it's kind of a problem. But like to their life, then probably not. But if it's like they can still like live their lives, and it's like, you know, they can just, it's just normal for them, then I mean probably, if I like them.
What's too much?
Just to the point where it's like it just affects what they can do, and like I have to like change my life for them.
To give a visual, am I too much? Be honest.
I mean I don't know how you live your life, so I don't know, like,
so it's how they live their life and not their size,
I guess. Yeah.
Bro was sweating, man. Sweating bullets. I love how his friend is just sitting there like, I'm so glad this is not me getting asked this question right now. And through all the nerves and what was clear, his actual thoughts were, he gave a very diplomatic answer. So I will commend him for navigating the ups and downs of that entire conversation. But I think we all know what the answer was.
Bless his heart. Yeah, I mean, give him credit. He was pretty kind, you know, that she put him on the spot with a very aggressive sort of line of questioning, and he was as nice as one could be expected to be when confronted with that. So I don't know. I don't fault him at all.
I mean, had he said no, I wouldn't date somebody like that, you know what the onslaught of comments would be on the internet. It would be like, you're fat phobic, how dare you, this is so regressive, you are discriminating against people. Even though that would be a totally like reasonable belief to have. And I like that he said, you know, the caveat is, how does it affect your life? Can we do the same things that I normally do? Are you going to be just as active as I am? Can we go out and go for a hike? Can we go play basketball? Whatever it is, if you're capable of doing all those things, then okay, I'll be able to hear you out on the subject. And it's a very diplomatic way of giving your real answer. And you know what? That's fine. It's fine. Sometimes I wish people would rip the Band-Aid off and just be legit and be straightforward. Yeah. But also, it's kind of hard to do that nowadays with how these videos absolutely go insanely viral. This got 14.1 million views. Imagine if he'd ripped the Band-Aid off and just said, absolutely not, and here's why. It's unhealthy. It's this and that. Might not have the best. He'd be kicked out of school the next day. You never know. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's almost like you might as well just say what you really think, because by not saying anything, like, sure, you spared her any sort of like meanness in the moment, but you know, I don't know. Why do you think that this actually got so many views? Because it's really just a guy sort of feeling uncomfortable and reeling at the question. It's not like this super hot take. Like, do you think it would have gone more viral if he was just like, oh yeah, no, I'm not attracted to large people, so I just wouldn't be into that. Like, I feel like that would have not been nearly as viral, but it was like the hesitation that created so much more intrigue.
Yeah, I think it's people just connect with this idea of like having these controversial conversations in a time where it's really hard to do so. Yeah. And the fact that like the it kept upping the ante, like she wasn't going to let him go. And the final question being like, would you date me specifically? And just like constantly moving it up and up and up and wondering like, is he going to say it? Is he not going to say it? Is he going to figure out how to get out of this? I think that's part of why it went viral. I think people are having these conversations internally, but it's just strange to watch somebody get confronted, you know, live with the actual question itself.
Yeah.
And his friend just gets to sat there and watch it.
I do admit that.
Yeah, I know. It's entertaining. Like man on the street content, I don't know, always gets me. I can always go and like watch people's responses to things. And I'm always curious to see what certain types of people are going to say and just how things come across. And he did well. Bro was respectful with his answer was the first comment underneath the underneath the tweet itself. Now, this next one is also gone viral. This one got 38.6 million views, and this is a woman talking about going to watch Oppenheimer with her husband, and there is a nude scene in Oppenheimer, I believe, between Cillian Murphy and Florence Pugh, and she was trying to navigate the idea of this with her husband. I'll let her tell you.
Okay, so I research everything before we watch it, but especially this movie, obviously I heard about it. Yes, we wanted to see it. It has an amazing rating. We prepared ourselves. I didn't know when the scene was going to happen, and I also didn't understand how the scene was happening. I thought it was just several minutes straight of, but it wasn't. It was actually broken up into like, it would do a flash of that, and then it would do a flash of normal life.
And when she pauses out, she means nudity between the two characters.
It would do a flash of the scene, and then it was like very, you know, back and forth. So it was really difficult to avoid it. But obviously my husband and I talk about everything. If we go anywhere or we go see anything, even if it's a concert, movie, an event, we have a game plan. We talk about things like, what if you get triggered? What if I get triggered? Really, the problem isn't what if you get triggered? The problem is what if I get triggered? Because I don't want my night to be ruined by being triggered by something on a screen. So essentially what we did was, when the scene came up, when things were happening, he literally closed his eyes and laid his head on my shoulder. Like, if this is my shoulder, like this is my shoulder, he's like this. And then I would just like let him know whenever it was over. And it literally, I will tell you what right now, took nothing away from the story. Him not looking at the screen during, did not change the storyline, did not change anything. Have a plan and talk about it before you go.
Okay, I have much to say about this. This went crazy viral. Everybody was bullying this couple. They're saying, this is insane. How are you triggered by watching a woman's breast on a movie? How is it that you are so sensitive to this that you can't even watch a normal adult movie with your husband and he needs to bury his face in your shoulder and all this different stuff and you're too sensitive and blah, blah, blah. They came after her and her husband. And a lot of the heat that she got is like, why would you put your husband through that? Aren't you secure enough in yourself? There's a ton of different stuff. Come to find out, when you sprinkle a little bit of context into the situation, her husband had a porn addiction. So they thought this is the best way to navigate this. When you go to the movies, maybe you don't watch nudity. But and that lightened the situation for a lot of people. They went, oh, I guess I understand. That could be a trigger for somebody with an addiction. Just like if you, you know, formerly loved to do coke off the bathroom floor, you probably wouldn't go watch The Wolf of Wall Street, right? So these are the things that they were trying to navigate within their relationship, and she decided, we'll go see the movie, he covers his eyes, whatever. And you know what? That's fine. People do whatever they want to do. They get to do what they want. I just want to talk about how quickly the response came to this. Let's remove the addiction from the storyline here. pornography in films is not normal. It is something that has very, very recently happened within like Hollywood and entertainment, that we are watching people like be naked and do things that couples do. For all the young people watching, we won't get too into detail about that, but that is not like, it's not a normal thing to have been in TV. And now it feels like every program that is ever put on TV has like softcore pornography in it, which is kind of wild. And from what I hear about this movie, I have not yet seen Oppenheimer. This is a pretty extensive scene that happens over the course of like 15 minutes or something like that. So to me, it's not abnormal to maybe not want to see that. And if you are willing to admit that maybe pornography does not have the best effect on minds, and especially young men in particular, and seeing all this stuff on any given day is not particularly healthy, why would you bully somebody who doesn't want to see that when they go to the movie theater? Doesn't make sense. I get how in today's time that might be something that's sensitive because it's literally everywhere. Like, there's nudity everywhere. There's a naked picture of freaking Doja Cat on all over the walls here in LA for her new album, just like out in public. You can just go and see a naked woman and all this different stuff. And now it's been normalized. But if it's not normal for other people, that's okay. And you know what? I'm no stranger. I watch like Game of Thrones and HBO shows and all that, and they have some of the craziest stuff in those shows. But if I met somebody who's like, yeah, I like to shield my eyes when that stuff comes up. It's not something that I feel like is healthy for me. It's not something that I really want to go out of my way to watch. I'd be like, yeah, dude, that totally makes sense. I wouldn't be like, you're such a freak. You're such a freak for not wanting to see these random actresses nude on your television screen. Makes no sense. Yeah,
I think it just speaks to how hypersexualized and sort of desensitized we've become in this cultural moment. Like, I think if a couple wanted to go on TikTok and shared all of their weird kinks and fetishes and graphic detail and talk, you know, in depth about that and what they do in the bedroom or whatever, or what turns them on when they see what they like to watch to turn them on, that would not go nearly as viral as does a couple who says, hey, we want to deal with this porn addiction and we don't want to be triggered, or we want to have a game plan when we're entering into a situation like that. Somehow that is the most mind-blowingly prudish thing ever, that it goes absolutely viral all over the internet. And yet there's no limit to just how graphic or debased you can be when it comes to sexuality in today's time. And I think that that's just telling about the moment that we're in. Is really interesting that this just took off. And I get it, like, you know, it is kind of like, on a surface level, if you don't have the full context, it's definitely sounds weird and sounds maybe excessive, but at the same time, when on the flip side, there's just no limit to how excessive you could be, it seems. It does highlight, I think, a little bit of asymmetry.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy to me that like people are looking at this couple and going like, it's so weird that you don't want to see another woman's boobs on TV and you don't want to see her like engaging in this sort of stuff with another man on TV. No, it's not weird. Like, we've become the weird ones as a society that we allow this stuff to like happen. And of course, we're in that pendulum swing of what TV used to be like. If you're familiar with the show I Love Lucy, which was in like the 1940s, 50s with Lucille Ball and her husband, they were the first television show to ever show a pregnant woman on TV. It was the first time that it ever happened, and it was a massive scandal. The studio heads had gone back and forth. The executives of the show, the writers of the show had gone back and forth. Do we show Lucy pregnant on this show? And they ended up making the decision in 1953. They got much pushback. A lot of people accepted it. A lot of people said, well, it's good to like depict motherhood. So there was a time where we were like prudish in nature when it came to television. I think it's totally normal to see a pregnant woman in real life, and thus should be normal to see a pregnant woman on TV. Is it normal to watch people engage in intercourse in real life? No. So should it be normal that you go to the movie theaters and you see a 15-minute scene of couples doing that? No, but it happens so often that we look at that couple and go, you're disgusting. You're so weird for not wanting to see that. You guys are freaks. I would just question that narrative for a second and really think and do like a self-inventory on whether or not it's actually that weird. When we come from a time where, you know, showing pregnant women was like something that was scandalous and wrongfully so, right? But the pendulum has swung so far back in the other direction that now it's like, goodness gracious, leaving nothing to the imagination. There's freaking softcore porn in kids shows now. I remember, like, watching things like Pretty Little Liars and stuff that's on Freeform that's meant to be for, like, a younger teenage audience. And some of the stuff they show in that show, I'm like, this is supposed to be for young teenagers? Like, what? We've moved so quickly in the other direction that we need to take stock of whether or not that is something that is healthy. And again, if you think pornography is unhealthy for the human mind, it's all over the TV. It's all over. Yep.
Yeah, and like you said, it's like, it's just unnecessary. And we talk about, it reminds me of how we talk about, like, forced diversity in films. It's like, if something reflects reality and it's believable and it doesn't stand out as like, okay, wait, this feels a little bit forced, then you know you're watching a good story, it's true to life and it resonates. But whenever it's all this forced stuff jammed in there, then you start to think, okay, wait, is there an agenda here? Is there trying to engineer this? Do they have a motive? And I think that the same holds true when it comes to like excessive sexual content in TV and movies. It's like, there's a degree to which you can include romance and even sexuality in movies, and it makes sense because it's advancing the plot. It sort of brings the story to life and as much as it needs to, but there definitely comes a point where it's like, you're just doing this to sort of appeal to people's lustful inclinations or to be sort of scintillating or provocative or whatever it may be. And at that point, you have to sort of question the motive, and it's like, why are we okay with this? I think that's a perfectly fair question to ask.
Right. Yeah. Alexis just commented on YouTube and said, I felt so uncomfortable watching Euphoria. This is another HBO show that came out, and I watched all of Euphoria. I thought there was some really great writing, some really good story arcs, but the amount of just seemingly blatant pornography that was in that TV show was astounding. And when you think about the age demographic of who was watching that show primarily, you're talking like high school, college, some even younger than high school watching that show, because it had, you know, like Zendaya in it and Jacob Elordi, and that's who people wanted to watch, and, you know, fawn over and stuff. The stuff that they were watching, that blows my mind. And I mean, I'm talking full frontal nudity. You can see everything in that show, and that is allowed on TV now. Would have never been allowed on TV, even like a few decades prior to this. We've just quickly moved in the direction that this is okay, and that's how normal it is becoming. So yeah, this couple's not weird. And when you add in and mix in the whole addiction narrative with her husband, makes even more sense that you wouldn't want to watch something like that, and that maybe he would bury his head in her shoulder. So let's put that to rest. Guys, we're going to get into Super Chats.
All righty. On that note, great transition. But all right, so Bernie Choi's kicking us off today says, thank you for being one of the sole voices of reason these days.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate
that. That's very nice. I hope we're not. You're not one of the sole voices.
I think there's more. I think there's more of us.
Guilherme LG's Seiko says, hi again, just want to let you know I've joined PragerU Force. Maybe PragerU Force?
Oh, nice. PragerU Force. Yeah. So if you guys are high school, college, or a young professional below the age of 35 and you want to find like a community of other like-minded people, you can join PragerU Force by going to PragerUforce.com. How to do the plug.
There. Nice. Too many radio ads today. You were like just on it in in the zone. BA says, people used fixed mindset, in quotes, cancel culture, or in parentheses, cancel culture, to affix someone as a foil for moral superiority flexing and distract from their own lack of personal growth.
It's true. It's a big virtue signal. It really is. It's just like, hey, everybody, look over there. Look over there. So nobody has to look at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can point to someone else who's worse than you, then, I mean, by implication, you're a better person. So that's how virtue signaling works. Great super chat. Alex says, hey there, gang. Great FNF video. To respond to your response on Monday asking what I've learned from FNF, I've learned a lot of the womanese lingo, what they want, i.e. the 666 standards, fitness, etc.
Hey, you know, that's some women. That's the thing. It's some women. I hope I don't watch much of Fresh and Fit podcast. I've seen some of their stuff. I hope they're giving you a holistic view. It seems like in a lot of like the red pill alpha male content, it's not a holistic view. It's like a one-sided, very niche viewpoint when it comes to women.
Liam says, while this show skews right, I love how charitable Amala is to the other side. Empathy is so important to avoid extremism.
Oh, thank you. We really try to like give a good faith argument for the other side and to represent them properly. Don't always succeed, but we try.
Diva Dawn says, didn't Dave Chappelle kind of take that attitude of do what you want and I will do what I do? He said several things to anger the wokies.
There you go, Diva Dawn. That's a good example. He is one that in the heat of cancel culture was like, yeah, no. I'm going to keep doing my comedy shows and I'm going to keep making the same jokes that I make. And you know what? Now I'm going to make jokes about you for trying to cancel me. Dave Chappelle is a great example. Yeah, good one.
So people also said in the chat, by the way, that J.K. Rowling was another good one.
Yes.
Who stood up to the mob. And Roseanne Barr, which was an interesting
one.
But,
yeah. No, but that's true.
She stuck to her guns.
She did.
Sherry Wenger just sends a hiya emoji. Thank you, Sherry.
Nice. Hi, Sherry.
Must Pavlov Dogs says, just left a very toxic friend group I'd known for 10 plus years. They probably would have canceled me if they knew I watched your show. But I'm unapologetic.
Oh, no. that's nice. I'm glad that you can, you know, stand by your actions and everything. I'm like, ugh, do your friends really know you then? If that's the way that they would treat you, that's horrible. Ugh, it's so sad to like leave people who you've known for so long. Ugh.
Also, how mad could they really be if they actually watched the show? Like, exactly. I don't know. I feel like we're pretty chill.
They always take the context away. You know.
Coach Sipping Jamba Juice says, shame on Jennifer Aniston for leaving the Leprechaun franchise. Courtney Cox never left Scream. Definitely not tradwife material.
The Leprechaun franchise? What is that?
Is that like a line of horror movies that Jennifer Aniston was in? I'm very curious.
A Leprechaun horror movie? I'm going to look it up. Okay. While we read other super chats, I will look into this Leprechaun.
All right. Dick Darlington says, I wear a mask in public because I am not attractive and my custom homemade masks are pretty cool looking. It's not a political statement and I have always believed mandates were very un-American.
Hey, no, take your mask off. Don't cover your face because you think you're unattractive. Absolutely not. Okay, snatch that stuff off your face and go on about your day. I doubt you are anywhere near as unattractive as your mind is convincing you that you are. And the mask is not going to help in exuding self-confidence. Take it off.
You're here.
Take it off right now. Take it off. Leprechaun is apparently a horror slash comedy horror movie where Jennifer Aniston played Tori Redding. Interesting.
Okay
then.
Learn something every day.
I don't like horror movies, so I will not be watching this, but...
So is that a Halloween or St. Patrick's Day movie or both?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
When should we watch it? Alex Senteas again says, isn't it interesting how when they want you to get the poke and you don't, so you use their argument, my body, my choice, and they still get mad at you?
Yeah, you know, it's my argument when it benefits me when it comes to that, I guess. And that's how that always works.
Franklin says, everyone be sure to compliment Taylor on his teeth, and cancel culture should be called social lynching. Make every day count and keep on going free.
Taylor, do you need teeth compliment? Did you talk down about your teeth?
Last week or two ago, but as far as I know, I haven't said anything insecure about my teeth.
Okay, well, yeah, no, Taylor has very nice straight teeth.
A little bit of an overbite, but you know, we're hanging in there.
We're part of the overbite. Do I have an overbite? Yeah, overbite gang. 100%.
Represent. The light blasts them and makes them look whiter than they are.
So anyways, I started blasting.
J Da Beast says, I want to say, Amala, that I love your channel. You're very interesting. You and Brad Cooper are my favorite political commentators. Speaking of whom, would it be possible to have her on the show one day?
One of these days, guys, I promise. Down the line. Even if Brett doesn't want to, I promise I will make it happen.
It's our most requested collab, I think.
It really is. So that's why I'm like, we need to just save it and save it and save it. We're going to keep saving it for later and later, the more you guys request it, because then we're just going to build anticipation.
I'm just going to break the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Most anticipated crossover since, yeah. I don't know. JD the Beast. Oh no, I just read that. Sorry, brain fart. Cody Miller just sends a super chat. Thank you, Cody. No message. Alex again says, be honest, guys, how would you guys tell that grenade that she's too fat and needs to lose weight? We mostly can't tell women the truth.
Tell the woman that? I mean, women, I think women need different messaging typically than that. There are ways to do that and do that in a way that's healthy for a feminine form of communication. And it's more so about like giving options of how to be healthier rather than telling them that they're fat. Typically women don't respond well to that.
Yes.
Yeah. Just I in general, don't do that. maybe guys tolerate, I think guys tolerate that a lot better. They love like a fire under the butt type, you are fat and you need to fix it and women will not like you and you're horrible. They love that sort right. of messaging.
And I guess it's like, if, you know, if you're one of those who are out there really aggressively and talking about how you shouldn't have to pay for multiple seats on airplanes, like there's that recent viral video of that woman just like having a super aggressive attitude about it, then maybe, you know, you have it coming to get clapped back with something a little more blunt truth. Mm-hmm. But if it's just like an everyday person who's living their life and you're like, you're fat, that's not really helpful, going to help anything. It might make you feel superior in some way, but it's not going to be well received. So let's see. Lindsay P, have you guys heard of the Black families in the ATL area that are attempting to create a Black only community? A growing number of POC seem to want segregation.
No, I've not heard about that. That is definitely interesting. Wow, what a
yeah, I'm we might have to go there with a camera.
Yeah,
have Amala infiltrate it.
As soon as they find out who I am, I'll be banished.
Yeah, that would be
that's crazy. I'll have to look into that. Really
investigative journalism though.
Yeah,
thanks for the tip. If you have any more info, send us. Gerard Martin says porn is illegal in Russia where I live with my wife. Also, romanticism between men and women is alive and well and their culture is child safe. They're doing something right, just maybe some things right, just maybe not all.
See, yeah, I'm like, I don't know that it needs to be like made illegal or whatever. I don't know how far I would go because I'm like, you know, people should have the right to like do what they want to do and, you know, watch what they want to watch for the most part, so long as it's not becoming like harmful, leading to human trafficking, anything like that. But we certainly need like just a cultural reinvigoration of the idea that maybe it's not the healthiest thing to do.
You know? Indeed.
Not good for you.
Coach Sipping Jamba Juice says, stop capping, Taylor. You got a Bang Bros subscription just like everybody else.
What is that?
It's it sounds like a porn site.
Okay. Stop the cap.
Stop the cap. check my credit card statement.
You know, I'm not getting into that. I'm not getting into that, guys.
Hey, look. I read it. It was super chat.
We have to be
not too scared to read it. Oh my goodness. Alex Anteas says, it's interesting how modesty / good morals are now shamed. I was watching whatever podcast today and the Christians were cringing listening to the people like No Jumper and his wife talking sexually.
Who's that?
Wait, yeah, I don't know.
Hold on. Do I want to look this up?
Maybe.
Warn me in the chat down below. Well, we won't show my computer screen. I don't know what No Jumper is.
Podcast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's similar to whatever I think, except
he also said Adam 22, like in parentheses.
Oh, I've heard of that man. Yes, I've heard of that man. for those of you who don't know who that man is, I think he's married to a P-star and let her sleep with another man so that they could get a bunch of money, and now he's getting bullied on the internet for doing it. You know what? I'm just like, y'all do what works for you. That does not work for me. That is crazy. Anyways, but I guess they made money, so that makes you happier, right?
Straight to jail, everybody.
Straight to jail.
But you're right, Alex, that modesty / good morals do seem to be shamed these days.
Yeah, you look down upon.
Cody Miller says military branches are becoming less lethal and more woke. Recruitment is lowest in years. What should conservatives within do? Active duty Navy sailor.
Call it out when it happens. Call out the woke stuff. I mean, you run the risk of getting punished severely, but you got to do what you got to do. I don't know. Sometimes I look at the military and I'm like, do you guys want to do this? Like, do you guys want to be part of this? I don't know why anybody would actively be like, I want to serve right now with what's going on. And I don't blame people for not feeling a sense of duty in doing that. So
yeah, we've seen those recruitment ads that are like appealing to, I don't know, these girls talking about she had two moms and how much her life struggle led her to join the military so she could find self-fulfillment and all this stuff. And it's like, it's, I don't know, you know, whatever, join from whatever background you want. And self-fulfillment is probably part of why you're doing it. But it's also like, you know, the ads used to be serve your country, fight the bad guys, like have find courage, have camaraderie, all that. And I was just listening to a little bit of Tucker Carlson just interviewed some general that was talking about our military readiness. And they're talking about like the possibility of an actual boots on the ground conflict. And he was just saying like, as our military stands, we're not in a good place because there's just a general lack of discipline, attentiveness, just like sharpness when it comes to the state of the military. And I think it points to just what we're prioritizing and how it's being led when we're more worried about diversity quotas and making everybody feel nice and happy and good and promising to pay for things if you sign up and not really giving them something to fight for, or, you know, positing camaraderie and all that. Like,
so many things have corrupted the military, like the military industrial complex, like wrongful conflicts, the woke stuff. There's so many things, and I look at it and I'm just like, and I come from like a military family. Like, so many men in my family served, my grandfather in particular, in the Navy for decades of his life. And to just see what it's become, it's just like, wow, that's so crazy. And especially to just juxtapose that with the stories that I hear from him every time I speak to him about his days in the Navy. It's just sad that you would look at it and be like, I would not want to be a part of this.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And that's, on the other hand, it is tough to blame people, as you're saying, when you look at the way, like, as soon as we withdrew from Afghanistan, this new conflict emerges, mm-hmm. and you got these vested interests of government contractors and all this stuff. It's a little sketchy. So yeah. I can understand too. It'd be hard to commit. And I have family in the military right now as well. So
yeah,
I get it. Jessica O'Shea says, I've been a fan of yours for about a year. You are a beacon of hope for former leftists and, well, everyone. Much love.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that, Jess.
Thank you, Jessica. Velocity123, glad to catch a live stream. Really enjoy watching your videos. I don't always agree with you, but I think it's healthy to challenge your own views.
I completely agree. Rarely are you going to find anybody in this life that you agree with them fully. So we're just like everybody else.
Yeah, if you do find someone you completely agree with, that's probably a red flag.
Yeah, there's something going on.
A little too much weight in there.
Yeah, they're love bombing you.
Roman EST89 says, Gina Carano is also one who wouldn't cater to the woke mob, lost her spot as Cara Dune, even. Not new watcher here, love y'all's takes.
Yeah, she stood up for herself. Gina is such a badass, and I love her. I wanna do something, some sort of project with Gina in the future. That'd be awesome.
Guilherme again says, affirmative action is so bad here in Brazil that I have to pretend to be bisexual.
What? Oh, you mean, oh, to get where you're going. I get what you mean. Like, people are pretending to be black and all this different stuff here to get their job applications and their college apps through. You know what? Don't hate the player.
I'm like, there's more to that story I kind of want to hear, but
you know. I know. I'm like, how far are you going into the pretending is the question.
Is this method acting?
I hope it's just checking the box on the form.
Lila Bako says, greetings from Hungary. I'm so glad I found your channel. It took me a while to find creators who shared my view on vaccine. So keep up the good work, guys. Love your
amazing
content.
Amazing. Welcome. Happy to have you.
And I think I just reduced our engagement on this episode by 25% by saying the V word out loud. And it's fine.
Right.
David Duarte Garcia says, remember when Freeform was ABC Family and the show Secret Life of the American Teenager was deemed controversial for the topic of a teenage pregnancy?
I never watched that, but I know Shailene Woodley was in that show, I think. And I don't even know the background of that show, but I imagine that there was so much controversy. I just remember there being moments when I was a kid of like, they showed this on TV, or like, oh my gosh, they're covering a character from like this perspective. Now it's just like free for all. Anybody can be whatever. You can be naked here. They can show full frontal there. You know, the horror stuff is way more gruesome than it used to be. Everything is just like at the peak of just us being desensitized to any and all.
What a time to be alive.
Like I said, fun. I watch Game of Thrones and like HBO stuff. I'm desensitized to it myself. I'm just making the acknowledgement that is what's happening.
Yeah. Mr. Erasmo says 700 million views in a little over a year and a half. You are a blessing to the conservative sphere. Much needed. Keep up the amazing work, Amala.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been crazy how much you guys have grown this channel. So, like, we appreciate each and every one of you more than you know. I mean, like, we would have never anticipated that this YouTube channel would, or any, wherever you're watching right now, would go as far as it's gone. So we admire all of you, and thank you so much for your support every single day.
Demonoxy says, I'm from Eastern Europe but live in Belgium now. You guys sound liberal to me. How on earth are you considered conservative or alt-right? LOL.
That's so funny. I don't know the politics of Belgium. Where they say they're originally from?
Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe. Yeah, they're far more conservative in Eastern Europe typically than in the West. So, yeah, I know.
I think so.
As things continue to get crazier and crazier on the left-leaning side, conservative starts to get just watered down more and more and more to where, you know, it's a lot of people who you probably wouldn't consider in the East to be conservative are claiming to be.
Yeah, and the more aggressive or, you know, dogmatic the right becomes, the more left-leaning the center will sound.
So exactly.
Back and forth we go. Mason Pyle says, I watched a little bit of the Whatever podcast with Michael Knowles and I lost a few brain cells.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I've gone on that podcast. I
probably lost a few brain cells appearing on the podcast.
Yeah, I didn't get the best group of like women to like discuss anything with, but it was just like bored. I was so bored the whole time, but it was fine.
Oh, a couple more just came in. I think we're almost done here. Chuck Norris's beard says, nothing intelligent to add to the conversation. Just wanted to say Amala is smoking hot.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck Norris. Uno says, is it intentional when you use alpha male to define RP space? Usually it is used by libs to discredit the space.
No, I mean, there's a lot of like self-reference of them calling themselves alpha, which I think is where the left got the term alpha podcast anyways. I just mean that the general sentiment is one that is meant to place men in a, you know, within the hierarchy at the alpha part of that hierarchy, A+.
And I think that was our last one for the day.
Okay. Well, guys, thank you so much for watching the show. Thank you so much for supporting with Super Chats. We're going to be back tomorrow with a whole new video. I don't know what exactly it's going to be about yet. I'm thinking I'm going to react to this random man in Atlanta drama that's happening on the internet, and we can talk about baby mamas and baby daddies, okay? Because it's a lot of conversation circulating on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram over this random man in Atlanta that I might clue you in on. We'll see. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And we post videos for you guys every single day, so don't miss out. I will see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.